For years, Minky Couture has been donating blankets to NICUs across the country. Owner Sandy Henry's grandson was born at 30 weeks, and she placed a mini blanket in her grandson's incubator. We want to help other NICU families with the Heart of Minky program. For every adult-sized blanket purchased, Minky Couture will donate a mini-sized blanket to NICUs across the nation. Thanks to you, we can fulfill our dream to blanket the world.
Talk a No Facts, All Feelings Wrestling podcast on the Social Suplex Network. I'm Allie.
I'm Ann.
And I'm Leah.
How are my beautiful girls doing this week?
It is ice cold shower season.
Oh my gosh, you had one?
That is true.
I took my first ice cold shower, and I got to tell you, I got on this Zoom in a pretty good mood.
Yeah, hey. You did. And your hair is
my
wet.
Girls say with surprise.
Look, for the last 4 weeks, you've been bitching uncontrollably about having to narrate what made you happy.
Even on weeks when it's not your turn, you're happy about the prospect of doing it 3 weeks from then. So
that's right. Yeah.
Well, that's good. Well, you're going to be happy for the rest of the summer now.
Yeah,
I think so. Now that we're back in season, yeah,
that's amazing.
Did you drink Marjorie's delicious summer beverage from last summer also?
I did. Yeah, like, I think that was like 2 weeks ago, maybe. Maybe it was last week. Yeah. I don't remember. But I did. I made a salty lime water.
Yeah. And how was it? Was it as good as the cold
shower?
It was refreshing.
Hey. Yeah. We were talking about this before the pod started too, that like, it turns out a lot of my alcoholism problems is just that I like to have an interesting beverage in front of me.
We can't be talking about alcoholism problems. She just drinks beer sometimes.
She's
why are we the ones who are having to come to your defense right now?
I know, seriously.
Listeners, she's
fine.
We're
also just discussing how people listen to what we say and retain it, which is improbable and disturbing.
Well, you don't like that.
I was joking. Don't add alcoholic to the list of things you remember about me.
Yeah, type the backspace, you know?
Yeah. Take it out of your spreadsheet.
Yeah.
But okay. Yeah, an interesting drink. You can't go wrong.
Oh my God. I did just, I went to Target right before this. I went to IKEA and I went to Target and I bought some crazy stuff. But wow. I bought 8 different kinds of seltzer. I mean, there was like a demon inside of me at the store. I just kept seeing flavors and being like, that sounds good. Yum, yum. And then I looked in my cart and was like, you look like you're hosting a party. Like, you look like you're going to a lake house. You're not. It's just you drinking these seltzers. And then I thought, seltzers don't go bad.
So I left the store.
Yeah.
Allie, I meant to tell you, by the way, that you mentioned Waterloo raspberry nectarine the other day, and I was like, oh, that sounds delicious. So I like bought a little moderate amount of it, you know, 1-8 cans. And then my parents came over for dinner like that weekend, and so I like, you know, was like, do you guys want a seltzer? And they did, and my dad was like, ooh, where'd you get these? Like, this is so good. And I was like, at your local Kroger. And now my dad is addicted to Waterloo seltzer. He brought so much of it on our vacation last week. Like,
wow.
He's obsessed. I was like,
does he like, but is he now into multiple flavors, or is he raspberry nectarine girl?
It had some raspberry nectarine, also had tropical fruit. Also,
the tropical punch really is like,
it's so
it
good.
Is tropical punch that you had at elementary school in a little thing, but just seltzer. It's really good.
It's really good. I really like that one. We had peach also, which
the peach is so good. I just got one of those.
Yeah. They're all like better than I expected. Like, you see a tropical fruit or a peach and you're like, well, this will be okay, but it was. Loved it. Yeah.
I think Waterloo is a sleeper seltzer brand because I didn't used to buy it, but then they're the only brand that does, and I really can't be getting any flack for this. They're the only brand that does a grape flavor.
And you love the grape.
I love fake grape flavor. And then I just realized their offerings are quite robust. But
yeah, quite impressed. He was like, I like this way better than LaCroix. It's changed his whole life. So
I feel like an influencer.
Baby.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Amazing. Well, speaking of influencing, it's my week to say what's making me happy. And I got back on the pop culture happy hour train and just today remembered, like, oh yeah, I stole this from them. I stole this completely. Yes, I mean, I knew that, but it. I just don't think about it that much. And then I was just like, I took this. You made this? I made this.
I do feel like we kind of workshopped some other names early on, but then it was just like, no, that's what it's called.
No, it's what it's called.
We'll be doing it. Yeah.
And so my thing and a half, two things that are making me happy. One, I'm off work for 5 days now. And my work sucks ass right now. So I am so excited not to be doing it again until next Wednesday. So that's thing one. And thing two, it's not going to come as a surprise to you girls who hang out with me online all day. I saw Challengers last weekend. I'm a Challengers. Yeah. I'm a Challengers girl. I love Challengers. I love Luca Guadagnino, or however you say his name. I love what a freak that man is. I couldn't recommend it more highly. You got to go out and watch this tennis porn. You got to go out and watch this sexy tennis film where people are, you know, sublimating. They're grossest, most repulsive sexual impulses into tennis. Wow. And I say it complimentary, gross and repulsive. Like, cool. That's so cool. So.
I had a moment where I was like, yeah, why is she clarifying that for us? Of course we know that. Everyone. And then I was
you guys know.
That's right. That's right. There's normal people don't hear
so many people out there listening, and I hope you all know it. I couldn't mean it more complimentarily. I listened to the Pop Culture Happy Hour about Challengers. Yeah. Did you listen to that one?
I did listen to that one. I liked it.
They loved it, and I loved the episode, but I will say that at one point, one of them said, well, I don't think that it's a queer film. I think that it has a queer sensibility, and out loud I said, that's fucked up. Guys, just grow the fuck up, okay?
I can't hear multiple
other queer people on podcasts being like, they just don't seem to understand. It's very queer, guys. It's pretty gay. So I had the time of my life.
I was just thinking today that I got to get out there and go to a theater and see it.
Yeah, it's really good in theaters, and there's other places you can see it, too. Okay, well, so that's what's making me happy this week. Shall we discuss wrestling?
Yeah.
Should we get into the wrestling? Okay, Little Orange Cassidy fought Isaiah Cassidy on Collision this week. We did get a number of jokes about them having the same last name, which was fun.
When the crowd started chanting Cassidy, I didn't like that. Yeah. I liked it.
Yeah.
I remember when we first started watching, it was like we were fans of Orange Cassidy, and then like you'd see Isaiah Cassidy a lot more than you see him currently. And it was like, I don't think this is right. Like, why did he steal his name? And I thought it was going to be an ongoing large problem, but it turns out it hasn't been, which I appreciate.
Actually, most men in wrestling have the same name. They're mostly named Adam Cage. Like, if you look at the
Matt
the meme.
Cage, you know, yeah. Matt Page, maybe.
Matt Page and Adam Cage are the two number one wrestlers.
Yep.
Greg did come out through the crowd early on in the match, actually, and he set up at the barrier to watch. OC was clearly kind of run down in the match, but it was really fun, and he pulled out the win. And afterwards, Lexi Nair approached Greg for an interview, in which Greg said that he's a better wrestler than OC, and that OC only won their last match because he cheated. Quote, he's a sociopath who thinks the rules don't apply to him. They do. Rules matter. Greg, it's a real change of speed from you. Okay.
Trent Beretta.
He's no longer breaking the rules. He loves rules now. He challenged OC to a match at Double or Nothing, and OC launched himself out of the ring and at Greg, and then they fight and fight and fight, and eventually security had to kind of pull a hissing OC off of Greg and drag him to the back.
While Greg was yelling, I'm a good boy. I'm a good boy.
It's just so funny. I mean, what did you guys think of it all?
It was so good. Greg coming through the crowd, like, he's getting so much heat right now, which is so gratifying to see. Like, the amount of booze he was getting at ringside was delightful, and he was wearing the OC shirt with, like, green duct tape blanking out the eyes. Like, who is the sociopath here, Greg?
The art that he is doing with the tape has been so good and so funny, and I love that, like, it's very low impact. Like, he's just taking... Yeah. Orange Cassidy's merch and doing the lowest possible
doing the impact. Most with the least.
Yeah. He's just, and it, like, the face acting he was doing at ringside was so effective. And he wasn't doing that much, but what he was doing was incredibly powerful. And I was just like, okay. So we know that Chuck Taylor has been training as a backstage coach. And we know that Orange Cassidy has produced matches. Can we get Greg back a backstage role? Because it turns out that the best friends have a lot to fucking offer.
Should Greg be one of the judges in the room training people to give promos? Because he's been killing it. This side with Lexi Nair, it was so good.
Should he be the Simon Cowell a little bit? You know? I mean, he had such a stern face watching the match.
Yeah.
He's done amazing.
And the little promo was, again, like, first of all, I have to say that according to One Nation Radio this week, we have officially won the war, and James wants to pick a fight with us. But I really, really enjoyed that his way of making up to us was that he was like, I'm going with Orange Cassidy. I don't want any smoke from Tunnel Talk. Yeah. When actually I have become a huge Greg sympathizer. And when he was giving that little promo to Lexi, I was like, he's right. He's right.
he's not right that Orange Cassidy is a sociopath. Okay.
And a narcissist.
I think
it's so funny that he's calling him a sociopath and a narcissist, because there is a certain kind of, like, if you're talking to, like, a friend about, like, someone you know and they don't, like, a certain kind of friend, and you're in a certain kind of conversation, like, the amount of time it can get to, like, that person is a sociopath and a narcissist is not that long. Like, people can really start going there.
An hour into the evening. Yeah.
Right.
And then, and then you end by being like, well, you know. What can you do? They are who they are.
What can you do? Yeah.
We did have... So they are going to fight at Double or Nothing. We did have some more OC Don Callis interactions with Don Callis backstage. He said, Orange, I know how hard that was. You had to put down your best friend. I had to put down family. It's like he took Kenny out back and shot him.
The old yeller in Kenny. Why do you think he's been in the hospital for months?
And then he said, the best thing you can do with what you're going through right now is get right back on the horse. You need to start wrestling again. He's been wrestling. He opens like every week. You need some opponents. Stopped. I have access to everyone. Now, I wanted to ask, so have we seen OC like do a promo since Don Callis started courting him? Did Don Callis start right after he did the like Chuck will never wrestle again promo?
He started amping it up after that, but
he was like watching the monitor before that. I don't think we've seen like a full promo. I think there's been a couple times where like OC's had like the mic in his hand and then gotten interrupted before he really got into it, so I don't feel like we do really know where his head is at this moment.
And you know why?
Stop it, Leah.
He's our beautiful firstborn son. This is like when she said he couldn't read. Leah,
I'm going to put you in the room, okay? And you're not going to like it in there because you hate improv.
I do hate improv.
This is the worst threat that I can levy at you. I will put you in the room and it will be nonstop improv. Nonstop thrills. If you don't stop shit talking our biological son we gave birth to, who repeatedly commentary this week called a young man.
Yeah. The man turned 40 this month, but
again, as MJF once said, that juice ain't freshly squeezed.
The fact that I think it was commentary being like two fine young men fighting about Isaiah Cassidy and Orange Cassidy.
Isaiah Cassidy, who's like at least 15 years younger, he's probably like, hey.
Oh God. Okay, and then also on Collision, Will Ospreay fought Shane Taylor with Roddy on commentary. This was a super fun match to watch, like, just enjoyable. Ospreay won. The Kingdom tried to attack him, but he drove them out of the ring, and then he did, like, he jumped through the ropes onto them. Can we put our little minds together and produce the truth of what happened with this Tiger Driver 91? Does anyone have some insight for me? Okay, guys, I did say in the schedule that I thought we might have to confab. You could have told me that you had nothing to contribute.
I thought someone else would know things. Mm.
Okay, yeah. Look, this is what I have from Manolo. We can do this. Ospreay didn't fool around with the Tiger Driver 91 drama. Since it's part of the story, we need an explanation, Manolo. I'm curious if he had doubts about executing the move on such a large man, or if he is making way over that mental hurdle until the title fight. Now, what I think that I understand based on comments that I read elsewhere, but I didn't notice it in the match, is that I think he almost did the Tiger Driver 91 again on like a table or something, but didn't. I think someone's going to tell us that's wrong and that, you know, it is what it is.
Yeah.
But if that's...
These recappers should have done a better job explaining... Girl, that's my feeling. It's Manolo's fault.
And I want to say, we found out, well, we can't get into all that, but I love Manolo. Every week, this man brings a little light into my life. But in terms of me understanding things better from reading Manolo,
yeah,
that is less light. And it is more a dark cloud of me still not being able to see what happened in the week. You know what I mean?
I do. Yeah. Just reading his excerpts, I'm like, wow. I just got farther away from it. You know, those words
farther
in that order.
From God's light. Whenever you read Manolo. Well, if that's the case, if we're right, what do you think is going to be the arc of this Tiger Driver 91 thing? Since Danielson, it is true, has completely now no-sold the storyline. He's like, that's nothing to me.
It's true. But also, like, I understand why it's bothering people, but it's not really bothering me because I feel like the story is, like, Will Ospreay got scared that he really hurt Danielson, and it doesn't really matter whether Danielson is hurt. Like, to me, it's like you were, like, maybe speeding in the school zone, and you've done it a million times before, and everything's been fine, but this time, like, a little kid darts out, and you're... for a second think you're going to kill a kid and you slam on the brakes and the kid's actually fine. You didn't hit them. But after that, you might drive slow in the school zone, you know? So to me, it still works as a story.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, I guess it was just that, like, Brian Danielson was rocking back and forth and crying his brains out. And Ospreay was, like, kneeling at his side and, like, crying. And that was, like, so effective. And then for the next week, Brian Danielson be like, what up, sickos? Just,
like, but that's his favorite thing to do. Remember you got stuck in the ramp?
Like, yeah, it is his favorite thing to do, but I'm not sure that it's that. I think that he didn't need to act like he got Tiger Driver 91 to death for everything, forever or anything.
No.
Like, he was going to come back and wrestle again.
Yeah.
I am like, couldn't we have put one little cap on there that, like, Danielson could even work it into a promo? Like, a few weeks ago, I thought I might not ever wrestle again because I was actively having 5 seizures in the ring after getting dumped on my head.
Yeah.
Like,
or like,
couldn't we work that into some of these promos maybe?
Right. Or in one of these matches that he's wrestling, like, have, like, his opponent target his neck or what shoulder, whatever it was that he was screaming and crying
God
about
knows.
And just being like, that's where Ospreay Tiger Driver'd him. Wow. That's his weak spot, you know? But no, I don't think it's the end of the world. But
no,
it is.
It's not the end of the world.
It's not the end of the world, but it is one of those things where I'm like, Daniel said, I love you so much, but this whole year is your, like, lame duck year where you're just like, don't matter.
He said, it's my very special year. I can do anything I want. I can do all the seizures I want. I can fight any big man I want.
It was his special birthday.
Birthday.
One time on Total Bellas, he was just sitting, like, in John Cena's backyard with, like, John Cena and his brother-in-law and his stepfather-in-law. And they were, like, just chilling and talking. And then at one point he was like, should we wrestle right here in the lawn? And he said it like it was a joke and everybody laughed. But it was also very clear that if they had been like, yeah, he would have been like, yeah, like, he really wanted to, you know. And I think that's just Danielson all the time. Like,
high energy dog.
He just wants to wrestle right here. Yeah.
There's something I was going to say about this. Oh, I think maybe also it's like, and then this has nothing to do with Danielson selling it really, but I guess I'll just be confused if Osprey goes on a journey where he's afraid to do this move for a while, but then he does do it, but it has nothing to do with his like alignment. That will be crazy to me if it's like he lost his nerve to do the move that almost kill people, but then he really bravely gets his nerve back to do the almost kill people move.
It would work if he turned heel. Like he
yes,
was
absolutely.
Like,
fuck it. 1,000%.
I need this belt so bad that I'm willing to tackle to
I'd kill
almost
anyone.
Kill Roddy. Yeah, it would work mm-hmm. really well that way. I don't know how it's going to work if he wants to stay face. I have no idea, but somehow
yeah,
I feel
like. It
seems like
he needs to, like, keep going in that direction. You know, like, yeah. Be like I'm going to be a good boy who doesn't hurt people.
Unfortunately, wrestling morals are, like, and I'm so proud to learn that I can almost kill people if I believe in myself.
Yeah.
I love the number. Whenever you... The number of times we've been on this podcast being like, yeah, and then he did something really bad, so he's a heel, and everyone else has been like, he's the bravest face in the world.
I know, or they're like, how am I supposed to root someone for someone who won't do horrible violence to his enemies? That's not relatable. It's like, all right.
I don't know. I do it every day. Well, let's jump to this. Oh, actually, before we jump to this next match, let me just read one line from Manolo. Solid match between two studs. Solid match between two studs.
I would love someone to do, and this is the wrestling media letting us down once again. Yeah. Like, love a little deep dive into Manolo's sexuality. Love somebody to just ask a little question. What's up?
Absolutely. I don't think he has a bio on Cage Side Seats, unfortunately.
No, I tried looking
But he does
it up
have
once.
Pizzazz. That's
he does have pizzazz. I tried
I know,
to find
we've never
some
found
info
any
about
more.
Him. No.
Yeah.
Do you guys remember when we first started, we first got into wrestling and I really like had so much trouble with like, he covered the other guy because like, that's horse breeding talk.
Horse breeding talk. That's
when
right.
The things that Manolo says, I flash back there horse and I'm breeding. Like, yeah. Sir, you are running a horse breeding blog.
It's so funny. I forgot that covered was something that we used to find sexual, and now we kind of don't. So anyway, I'm sure in 30 years we'll be inured to
no problem.
I thought you were saying something nice, like in 30 years, like we will have forgotten all of this wrestling stuff and we'll just think of it as horse breeding talk again, like normal girls.
I mean, hopefully, but I don't know.
Anne's like, no, in 30 years we're going to be out there just fully being like, yeah, and then there was a slobber knocker.
I mean, it's surprising we've lasted this long. I just don't see it ending.
Everyone's always getting yam-bagged in the bread basket. And good God.
He went out on his back, and we don't even giggle.
Okay, well, I think we'll still be giggling at that. We can never stop giggling at going out on your back. The funniest phrase to us stupid girls.
We've still never seen one.
We've never seen one.
We've never seen a man go out on his back.
Unless,
only on his front.
Unless Dustin went out on his
back. Oh, no. If Dustin was the first man we saw go out on
God.
His back.
Can we, can we take a 2-hour bullet break from this podcast
we need to go
while
lie
I process
down.
That?
Look, you know, I feel like I'm the most... like blinders on optimist on the internet where I just keep being like, I can't hear you talk about how he's retired. Like, we'll see what happens. He can be strong for me. Like, he's my special boy. He will come back. But it would be really, in the long run, really moving if it ends up being that he is the first man we ever see go out on his back.
When we begged to see a man go out on his back and Chuck Taylor heard us and said,
monkeys,
okay, girls.
The monkey's
for
paw
once.
Girls.
The monkey's paw
this
girls.
One time I'll do what you ask. No, not
that's,
you.
That's the wish
not,
you grant,
not this
Chuck Taylor.
Wish. He says, you have no control over which wish gets granted, girls. Oh, learn that lesson and learn it well.
I wish for Chuck Taylor to come back to Twitch. Got a lot of time on his hands.
I believe he will come back. I believe he will come back.
I do too. I think he's exaggerating.
I believe he will come back to Twitch. I believe he will come back with a fire in his belt.
Well, now we're just getting ridiculous.
Okay, well, we're kind of a little off track. On Dynamite this week, OC and Ospreay teamed up to fight Greg and Roddy. And just because OC and Ospreay are kind of like semi-associated with Don Callis for their own reasons. Lots of very personal violence between OC and Greg throughout the match. Wardlow did intervene at one point. We can't really get into that. And Roddy pinned OC for the win. He has now pinned OC twice, which is actually literally sick and perverted and fucked up.
It is fucked up.
It is not complimentary.
Why would he be able to do that? How would he do that?
Not right.
They're trying to convince me that Roddy is a better wrestler.
Girl, no. I don't believe it. In this beautiful game of play pretend, mm-hmm. I don't believe it.
No.
Whatever. It's fine. No big deal.
It's not fine.
Anything you want to talk about here? I mean, we have covered quite a bit of this. I will just say Kyle Fletcher has not. We haven't seen neither hide nor hair of Kyle Fletcher, Will Ospreay's sleepover party best friend, the multiple times this week that Will Ospreay was attacked.
Yeah.
I think we have to question his loyalty, question his love for Ospreay.
What's he doing? Backstage necking with Mark Davis or something? Get on out here.
Wow. Well, I think we can excuse him if that's what he's doing. I thought you were going to say necking with Sky Blue, and I was like, yeah, repulsive. Stop it.
I did a fucked up thing where right before we got on the pod, I was reading a news story about people at AEW whose contracts were up, one of which is Mark Henry, whose I immediately, when you said that, pictured Mark Henry, and I was like, Kyle Fletcher is making out with Mark Henry?
Why? Wow. Well.
Wow. That is quite the mental image that you put in there.
It was only when Anne didn't react whatsoever that was like, I think I heard something wrong. Seems like that should have gotten a reaction.
I think you're not doing well if you heard Mark Davis, your favorite big-butted lesbian. Your favorite,
who I'm not even into, but I understood Mark correctly.
It's been so long since I've seen that butt.
Yeah. If you'd said dump truck boyfriend, that's how she thinks of him. She doesn't know his name is Mark.
That's actually on me.
The only thing that I have to say about this is that I think it would have been so incredibly easy to set up this tag match.
Yeah.
In that OC and Ospreay are technically on, like, aligned right now-ish. And, like, all you had to do was have Don Callis, like, do a backstage promo with them. Or even, like, whatever. Like, you could do it anyway. Or you could do it the other way and have Greg and Roddy have a conversation where they're like, hey, like, I know you have history with this guy. I think we can help each other out. It would have taken like 30 seconds, even less. And I'm like, and it would have made it so much better to just have one of those like setup things. And it's fine that it didn't. But at the same time, I'm like, it's not like you're using the rest of your time that effectively. You could have done this for me.
Yeah.
Now,
yeah.
The one thing, this is both a counter and an agreement in that, no, they're not generally using the rest of their time that effectively, but Collision this week, I was shocked at how much of it was worth watching.
Yeah.
And that would have been a great place to put a 30-second promo to set this up. Really easy stuff. Would have fit right in with everything that was going on. So
Yeah.
And honestly, like, we really do need to know, like, where OC's head's at in general. And if it was just, like, a sad, who cares, I'll team with Ospreay kind of promo, like, that would go a long way for me. And Greg's been killing it. Either they should have both done promos.
It would have been easy. It just would have been.
I'm really interested in what's going to happen with Callis, OC, Greg, and Ospreay, like, all in this mix, because it's like, I don't know, I just keep, because we don't know where OC's head is at, I keep having a mental image of Don Callis, like, giving him hypnotizing him so he has this kind of a sleeper agent word, and at some point he's gonna whisper it and we're gonna see in live time, because actually OC was doing some really good face acting this week, we're gonna just see his eyes go black, and then
the Manchurian candidating OC,
the man we love, will be gone for quite some time when this happens.
Wow.
And he only is a fighter, an evil fighter.
That'd be crazy.
Yeah,
I'd be into that.
Yeah, that'd be fun. Could be something.
We haven't really seen a hypnotized wrestler before.
I'd love to see a hypnotized wrestler, because no one will be surprised to hear this. The most important part of that will be like when eventually somebody that person loves and who loves has to be like, please come back to me right now. Please come back.
Someone Please. Who maybe, who that friend, that hypnotized friend maybe thought was gone forever.
Maybe thought was gone forever. Yeah. And so he, yeah. went, he and let has the like hypnosis a full, take like, effect because he didn't want to be in this world anymore.
Exactly.
Maybe.
He wanted to leave his body. So, and then you have like an end to Wrinkle in Time situation,
yes, exactly.
basically.
I love you, Charles Wallace. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I love you, Charles Wallace.
That's right.
Oh my God.
I can I see my, it so vividly.
I got the shivers.
I literally got goosebumps.
I do.
We're so good at this, you guys.
No one will do our stories for us.
Chuck Taylor, if you're listening.
I love you. I love you, Orange Cassidy. Come home.
Oh,
come
my God.
Home.
Wow.
That would be so beautiful.
That'd be the best end to the story.
Greg is nearby just going like, no one loves you. Don't ever come back.
You're a sociopath. Love isn't real.
He's a narcissist.
Greg, your voice will never be louder than love. Ever.
Greg's got a microphone going, he can't love you. You don't know how.
I'd love to see Greg sitting around backstage with like Ryan Nemeth or just a bunch of guys talking about how OC is a narcissist sociopath and them being really supportive about it. Like, yeah, that dude...
If the Dark Order was using their TV show correctly, they would be doing shit like that.
That'd be amazing.
I will say I also would like to see the scene where Greg is being like, and he's a fucking narcissist and a sociopath, and everyone around him is just being like, well, we know, Greg. We've talked about it quite a bit for the past month. Try asking me a question about what's going on with me. I've actually got stuff going on, too. Try asking about it. This is an uneven friendship, Greg.
Do you remember after one of the paper or after one of the matches, Dustin posted a picture of Greg and was like, finally, he's going to release his manifesto. And because it was, he looks like a cult leader. I am just thinking, like, he has released it. And it's about how Orange Cassidy sucks ass.
Well, the spirit moves you, how the spirit moves you. Let's just very quickly check in on the BCC. So Jon Moxley and Claudio Castagnoli cut a promo on Collision in which Mox said, and I will say a lot of this promo from both of these men was like, this is nothing. Love you. Love you. This is nothing. Mox did say, we do this because this is who we are. Violence. We don't do it for their rewards. We do this because this is who we are. We don't hunt because we are hungry. We hunt because we are lions. We don't play for money. We play for blood. Now, Anne, you had a comment about this that I'd love to hear, and then I've got a comment to add on.
Yeah, I said I think that lions do hunt because they're hungry. I think that's pretty much the only reason they hunt.
I thought
lions love to lie around lazily, not hunting,
I thought
until
that
they
was
get hungry.
Such an important thing to point out. So I love that, Anne. And then I just... when I heard it, I said to myself, everyone knows girl lions are the hunters. They're the most important lions of all. Mox would be a girl lion. And that's so
And he
beautiful.
Shaved his mane. So, yeah, looking like a girl lion.
Beautiful girl lion. And love you, Mox. But that didn't make sense. And then
now I'm just picturing him like Nala in the Lion King. Just like... it's kind of a sexy lady lion.
He would be. I mean... God, Disney, you have so much to answer for. And then Claudio, in his part of the promo, also added that he is the BCC's voice of reason and that he's not fake. So I didn't really understand what this was adding either. Again, I say it with so much love. But, you know, just wasn't want anything.
BCC, they've been phoning it in for a while here. Like, I don't know if they've done anything very coherent for quite some time.
I went on, like, a deep dive this morning because I was trying to trace this out and was like, wait a minute, why does Claudio hate the Don Callis family? And I was trying to trace it backwards. And in the process of doing that was like, hold on, the BCC was feuding with FTR 2 months ago. Why are they now, like, on the same side? And, like, and Claudio's mad that Danielson is on Eddie's team, but had nothing to say about Danielson being on FTR's team.
The unfortunate thing is that it is inherently narratively interesting and fun and sexy for people who don't get along to have to work together against a bigger evil, the EVPs. Uh-huh. So it'd be so cool for lots of people who have been feuding to be like, fuck it. Like, okay, that's on the shelf for now. Like, we're just going to have to work together and get her done. But it doesn't, that's not what's happening, because you have to have the scene where they talk about it. Like, that has to be mentioned. I was astonished when you wrote that. I had no memory of that.
Yeah. I feel like I've had, like, no memory of anything the BCC is doing. And I think because it's, like, it's not very memorable and, like, it doesn't tend to hang together, which is just very, like, I don't know. For some reason this week it struck me a little bit. I think when, like, Osprey Roddy stuff was being set up, and this isn't actually a dig at them because everybody does it, but it's like, oh, yeah, and then, like, the bad guys run out and they beat him up after the match, and then, like, someone fights him off, and it's just, like, the exact same thing you've seen 1,000 times. And I feel like the BCC feuds have all been like that lately, where it's like somebody beats somebody up so they're mad, but, like, it just goes into the hole, you know? You're just like, oh, can't remember any of that.
It goes into the hole, yeah.
Yeah.
And not, not the special hole.
No.
Not the fun
not
one.
Not this. No.
I think it must be a consequence of, like, Bryan Danielson is fully in his, like, I'm
his
in my
Twilight
lame
years.
Here. Yeah.
I'm in my Twilight years.
He's like, Twilight years.
What his daughter turned 7 and he's like, none of this counts
anymore.
Yeah,
no, he's sundowning. It's fine. And
aggregate
Mox,
that.
Mox's heart is in Japan. He's like,
definitely.
Every day he's texting TK and it's like, can you trade me to Japan? Please, I don't want to be here. And Claudio, he's just like, I want to wrestle. I don't care.
Happy
I don't care why.
Yeah. He and Matt Sydal share the happy to be here commit.
Yeah.
And so the combination of all of that is just that the BCC turns up every week and it's just like, oh, what's for work today? I don't care.
I thought you were going to say, what's for dinner? And I was about to agree with it completely. I'm like, that absolutely is. They're the lions. They come prowling up. They say, what's for dinner?
And then we're not eating dinner because we're hungry. We're eating dinner because we're lions.
Well, I'm interested to see what happens over the next few cycles, because presumably that belt is going to come off Mox at some point over the course of the next over the summer, I'm going to imagine. So I think that'll change the game a little. I do just want to, there's two things I want to say. So first, Mox ended this promo by saying, Takeshita, you started this game. At Double or Nothing, we're just going to finish it. It's a singles match. What?
Like, honestly, like, the crazy thing about this promo is that I was watching it and halfway through it, and I thought, who is he fighting? Who is this promo even about? And I could not remember for the life of me. I had to rewind it. And then I was like, oh, Takeshita. It's like, do you think that's a good sign about how this feud is going?
It's not. But the thing that I will say, though, is that for all that we didn't appreciate this promo that much, Mox looked so horny while Claudio was doing his part of it. He looked so appreciative. Like, he was sticking his little tongue out, just being like, oh, you're, yes, give him the good stuff. That's what I like. It's like, what, just nonsense?
The vibe was very much like, that's why I married you. You've got the stuff I like.
That's what it's all about.
I get this every night, everybody. Eat your hearts out.
And I'll be taking him home tonight. The thing that I'm going to find very frustrating, and I like Takeshita, I like him a lot, is that, let's say Mox loses to him at the pay-per-view. People are going to be like, oh, Mox is really selfless. He lost to Takeshita. They should do something about this. If they don't capitalize this, then Mox, like, you're wasting Mox. And I'm like, but it doesn't mean anything, because you're still not making Takeshita a person. Like, he's Don Callis is the person. Have the exact 100%. Same problem as when Kenny was the guy, where it's like, I'm sorry, you need to explain to me what Takeshita is. And I think part of the problem is that Takeshita's not a heel. I'm sorry, he's not. He's not a bad heel. He's got to turn face, and then we can all root for him, and then maybe he can get some juice out of all these wins. But he can't. Yeah. Like, I just feel like this is what's going to happen, is that people are going to be like, and then the next week, where was Takeshita? They weren't capitalizing it. And it's like, to say what? Like, yeah. What do you want him to promo about? You still have not given him a character.
We circle right back to the point we'll always circle back to with any character. What do they love? What do they fear? What do they love? What do they fear? What do they love? What
take them by the shoulders and be like, and loving wrestling and fearing losing is not a character. It's not enough.
Yeah, but they're really, really afraid of losing. Does that make it better? Send him to the room. I don't think it's his fault. But the other thing with the, like, we should move on. But with Don Callis, it's like, if you are a man in Don Callis's family, you are embroiled in a pretty intense psychosexual situation that might be pushing pain points that have their root in your childhood very far back. And I just think that's something that we should explore. You know, like, what's going on here? Yeah. Like, what led you here to this moment where you let this Grima Wormtongue tickle your ear with his little tongue?
That's what they should be working with there. Yeah.
According to Aubrey, they have a really powerful, like, EAP, like, you know, employee psychology, you know, mental health thing. And I'm just saying, like, maybe, like, anybody who signs up to work with Don Callis automatically gets referred, you know, just a couple
that
check-in
would be
sessions.
Delightful if, like, different people backstage were checking in on Takeshita, like, hey, buddy, how's it going? Buddy. How's things with Don? Like, when I was in grad school, and of course, your advisor in grad school has full power over whether you live or die, and you just hope they're a nice person and they're not, because that's just not how and so academics are. But my advisor's wife died and he was in really bad shape, like, but he kept coming to work, but he, like, clearly shouldn't be there, but of course no one could say shit about it because he didn't have a boss. So like, the chair of the department just pulled me aside one day in the hallway and they were like, how are you doing, how is everything, okay over there? And it's like, I mean, no, but what could you do about it? And that's what I feel like people should be doing with Takeshita, you know, just being like, hey pal, doesn't seem like a good situation.
Yeah, I agree. I agree completely. Just like, buddy, it's you used to seem to be having so much fun and loving life, and in a second it turns around. What this guy say to you? What's he got on you?
And for maximum comedy, who would be the person to have that conversation with, Takeshita?
For maximum comedy, that's such a good question. It'd be funny if it was someone who, like, you wouldn't think would care about other people's feelings at all. You know, it's like, if, like, God, who, like, if Mox pulled him aside to say that, like, might be kind of disturbing.
Like, right before, like, the match, like, they're in Gorilla getting ready to go to the match. Yeah. And Mox
no,
is like,
you know,
by the way, how's everything going?
What's,
is everything okay with you? Yeah, he's not. Actually, I think the funniest would be Sammy Guevara.
That's how he returns to the company. Oh, is that, like, the first thing you see is just him backstage being like, listen, I have been mentored by a giant sociopath narcissist, and I know how it goes. So how's everything going?
Sammy's the one backstage with Greg, like, really riling him up, being like, OC is a sociopath and a narcissist.
That's completely,
I work with Jericho.
Right.
I know.
But the punchline is that at the end of, it's like, you watch Sammy, like, go from person to person being like, listen, I know sociopaths, like, you know, because I work with Chris Jericho. And then at the end of the skit, he just marches up to Chris Jericho's door, knock, knock, knocks, and he's at the Learning Tree Academy, baby. He is right back in it. Do as I say, not as I do.
If that's how Sammy was reintroduced, I'd be so on board the Sammy train.
I'd absolutely fucking love it.
Oh my God. Okay, let's move on to the big elite storyline. So we had FTR and Bryan Danielson fighting Lance Archer and the Righteous on Collision. They won, but they immediately got attacked by the Righteous because they were paid by the EVPs. I actually don't remember how we learned that, except for Nigel saying the EVPs will get their pound of flesh.
Well,
made me like Nigel more than I usually do.
FTR and Bryan Danielson kept being like, the EVPs put a price on our head, but I didn't remember the EVPs doing that.
They didn't show us any posters or anything. They didn't show us any wanted posters or anything. So I have no idea. I was kind of like, well, it seems like wishful thinking, like, because whether they're paid or not, if heels lose, they usually will attack you. So it's just kind of, you know, that's just life in the wild west of wrestling.
If I was on Team AEW right now, it's all I would be doing. I'd be like, yeah, they were out of food at catering, but the AVPs clearly fucked me over. I got a parking ticket. EVPs did it.
That's life in the EVP's America.
And if I were an EVP, I'd be pretty happy about it, honestly. I'd just be like, I get credit for everything. I barely do anything, but I get credit for everything. Okay. Oh, yeah, they put a price in our heads. Okay, I'm just looking, trying to figure out what my questions even were. They're so long for some reason. Oh, I was just going to comment on, well, so... And you remember this Bryan Danielson FTR promo. This was before mm-hmm. the match. What did they say? I did remember it being really bad, but
what did yeah, they say? It was just some stupid bullshit about the EVPs putting a price on their head, but they're so tough.
Yeah, they are really tough. They're really tough, yeah. Well, anyway, but then FTR got beat up so bad by the Righteous that then just Bryan Danielson, they went back to stage to be like, how's FTR? And he's like, well, they're not even going to be able to come to AEW Dynamite this week because the Elite put a price on our head. And then he says, but the Elite also partially failed. The Elite say they want to change the world. They won't even show up on Saturdays. And this Wednesday, I'm going to be on Dynamite. And he has done this a couple times. He's done the Collision versus Dynamite thing, or he's like pulled the Collision thing into it. I'm interested in what you guys think about that as an angle, because I have to say that I have been like a teacher with her red pen, just kind of like, Brian, do you think that we maybe could have found a more inventive angle? Do you think there is a little something else we could do here? And Brian says, no, because I am just ready to wrestle and I don't want to talk.
I mean, I 100% do think that Bryan Danielson has been majorly phoning it in. Yeah. And it wasn't good. And they you can't make Collision the babyface show because it's the most boring 2 hours of television being aired. And I can't root for it against Dynamite. Mm-hmm. But I also think, like, Danielson, like, basically they're in the position as Team AEW of having to be like, the Young Bucks do not represent AEW, and that's ridiculous. Like, how are you supposed to get there, you know? So it's like, he's saying they don't show up on Saturday. Yeah. But it's like, what is he literally supposed to say to be like the Young Bucks, whatever? So...
It's so true. I mean, it's not an easy... We haven't even solved this one. We love to just be like, solve that one, take it to the bank, you won't. We haven't solved this one. I don't know what they should be doing. I did think that it was kind of weird this week because... The Bucks on Twitter had played with that match they had with Danielson and who was it?
Roddy.
Roddy. Years ago where they got beat up so bad and everyone always remembers it as being an absolute bloodbath. And they had like retweeted something about it. And I was like, Danielson, do you think that maybe you could have said something about your long history with the Young Bucks? Like, could you maybe have called back and like, you know, talked about how their character in some bad way has been the same for a long time or has changed for the worse because power got to their heads. And like, if you could just be the guys you were when you started this, then like, maybe we wouldn't be in this. Like, do you think that might've been a bit of an angle or.
Yeah. Doing the history would be good. Especially I think if he went for an angle of like, these guys have always been the most annoying motherfuckers in the world. Mm-hmm. They've driven me crazy. Like they're so irritating and they're being even more irritating now. Like, you know, you could get something out of that.
You could get something out of that. I think it would have been a little more than the angle that he has repeatedly gone with. But as you say, and as I agree, Bryan Danielson is like, Daddy don't like to do promos. Daddy like to wrestle.
Daddy like wrestle.
And it's
wrestle,
Daddy's final promo. Year and he's sundowning. So he can do anything he wants. He just wrestle big guy, small guy, any guy he wants. And he doesn't have to think about his promos because that's not Daddy's job anymore.
You're lucky to have Daddy here at all. He's going to say what he wants and do what he wants.
Oh, God. Why am I wrestling this guy? Because I wanted to. And promo.
Because Tony will give me anything I want right now.
In a way, it's not he the one who is going mad with power. Think about that. Chew on
again, that. Team Elite. If you're not on Team Elite, then you're a moron.
It's lucky that we're not going to these shows and we'll never have to deal with the degree to which we wouldn't want to do what we're supposed to do and cheer for who we're supposed to cheer for.
Yeah.
Okay. On Dynamite, we had a few things going on. First of all, the EVPs banned Darby from the building. Very funny. And then spent all night both telling people that he'd been banned and kind of suspiciously asking if they'd seen him, which I was fucking obsessed with. Just the, like, the absolutely insane quality of being like, he's been banned, so don't let him in. But have you seen, is he here? He can't be. He's not allowed to be here, but is he?
It really gives you an interesting sense of how much power they feel they do have, actually.
Yes. Do you want to comment on some of these, some of the look?
The fact that Matt was wearing a set of pearls with
beautiful,
a beautiful double strand. And love that, the jacket, what is it, brocade, is that what it is?
Oh, yes, yeah.
Oh.
Yeah,
oh.
It was quite a look. And it was quite a look.
And Nick has really amped it up to look like he's been just looking incredibly good. But his facial hair, when you actually do zoom in, is insane.
Yeah, because he's doing like a kind of a large goatee mutton chop. Like, that's not exactly right, yeah. But there are breaks at strange points.
Yeah, in and his yeah. mustache has a weird dip in it where you think that it wouldn't. And I know I'm saying this and someone's going to be like, oh my God, it's a Bruiser Brody reference. And we're going to be like, shut the fuck up.
At the end of the day, if we don't understand it, we usually assume it's a Bruiser Brody reference.
I can't be hearing about Bruiser Brody one more time from IWC.
We finally watched, as a group, we watched The Iron Claw this past week. And when somebody mentioned Bruiser Brody, the degree of, I've heard of him, was so crazy.
We'd heard of so many people that they would throw in there. It was incredible.
We know Ric Flair, lots of the men.
I've seen him. I've seen him in person, even.
I've seen him.
And unfortunately, now that I've seen him so often, I now also can say that was a bad impression of him.
It wasn't great, yeah.
But I think that the most troubling thing about his facial hair is that on, so Match and Emil aired this week, and in it, for some reason, someone brought up the fact that I think it was RJ City brought up the fact that it was weird to see Nick clean shaven in the match that they were watching. And Eddie Kingston said, well, you know, he's gone through a lot the last couple of years, so he had to grow it. What?
what would you say. It's when someone gets bangs, you know, you say something similar. It's like, she's been through a lot.
Someone gets divorced, they cut off all their hair. Like, is that what we're talking about?
That's what we're talking about, yeah.
Very much, like, it's like, that's his comfort beard. He needs that now.
He needs that. He's been through a lot, you know? He needed that beard.
I think someone was recapping Meltzer, and he said that now that Nick's dyeing his hair, it's hard to tell him and Matt apart.
I couldn't engage with that. I didn't.
Quite horrified.
I didn't know what to do with that, frankly. I said, well, they look very dissimilar, actually. One of them is a beautiful princess, and one of them is becoming a handsome prince.
And it was kind of crazy because I was like, first of all, Nick's always dyed his hair, so if you didn't think the bleached blonde end of his ponytail was fake. Then Dave Meltzer, you're a fucking moron.
First of all, fact check Dave Meltzer. Please be paying attention to
styling. He's always dyed his hair. Second of all, it's still a different color than Matt. Third of all, the fact that he can name every finisher from every major star for every year back to 1950, but he's going to tell me that it's hard to tell apart Nick and Matt, I'll fucking kill you.
Yeah. But at the same time, no, I don't remember anything. So I've been fine this whole time. I don't have anything like that going on. I just don't remember anything.
Yeah, it's really just Meltzer's, the things he pays attention to are just not the things we pay attention to. And I remember that every time, like, he's shocked that Ospreay Danielson didn't sell a lot of pay-per-views. I think it's very cute.
Yeah. No. That's cute.
It's just like, oh, yeah, your taste actually isn't universal, and that's fine. You know,
We have been talking a lot online recently about how Dave Meltzer and just a lot of members of the IWC, they really like to talk about stuff, and sometimes they just don't understand the concept of, like, having a special guy. Like, they don't know that, like,
they don't know
most of us have a special guy that we're just not, like, when we talk about our special guy and the things that we think that he or she should do and, like, what we think they can be and become, like, we don't sound okay. We sound really crazy. And if you're lucky, like us, you know that's how you sound. And you just can be like, it's not my fault. This is my special guy. But Dave Meltzer doesn't know about special guy.
No.
So he's just like, everyone is going to buy the pay-per-view that my special guy has a special match on. They're going to be obsessed with. They're going to love my special guy's special match.
People will be losing their minds over my special guy doing his special moves. And then it's like, they didn't.
They didn't even buy for my special guy.
This is why I think people who make their special guy like Osprey level are weak in their hearts. Mm-hmm. I'm like, you have to make your special guy a mid-carder that you never see. That's what makes you powerful. That's strengthens your immune system.
Yeah, it strengthens your character. It's character building. It's character building. Don't... It also gives you a little bit of perspective because we're never out here being like, you know how AEW would sell more tickets is put Chuck Taylor in more matches because we know...
We'll never say to you, like, Chuck Taylor's in the opener, so everybody's going to buy the pay-per-view after they see my special guy's special match.
We're not like, it's crazy that Chuck Taylor hasn't been elevated more in this company, and that's why they are not hot and they are not cool.
Well, it is crazy that they never got the tag titles. I will say that, but that's...
It is. I say that wholeheartedly.
That's because there are beautiful AEW originals. And originals should be rewarded unless they're vampires. True. So that's a vampire Tyrese joke.
Oh, okay. That's why I was like, I don't know what that means at
You're
all.
You're like, is that some of this blood? I was
literally trying to think who was a vampire at the beginning of AEW. I was like,
I went to like a clout vampire place and I was like, but FTR aren't originals. So
they're not.
Who
Although
are we
people
sub-tweeting?
Act like they are.
I know.
People do act like they are.
People really act like they are. They had barely shown up when we started watching. Yeah. Suck on that.
Please.
Like a little lozenge. Okay. So Brian Danielson, who's gotten a lot of shit in this episode, all loving. His body's never looked weird or complimentary.
Yeah, one of my special guys. But I can say he's doing a bad job.
Yes. And that's so powerful.
Thank you so much. Welcome. It's real strength.
Your constitution is so strong.
Mm. I see it in your flushed face.
She's had a lot of non-alcoholic rosé tonight, so she's feeling good.
I got a free non-alcoholic sparkling rosé in a HelloFresh box this week, and it comes with Afterglow, which, quote unquote, is a natural heat extract. Troubling. Don't know what that means. That mimics the warmth of alcohol without the alcohol.
You know, I read a tweet today that was like, our media is becoming like increasingly pornographic, but nobody wants to talk about it. And of course you read that and you're just like, that's wrong because unfortunately almost nothing is erotic anymore. Like it's being eroticism is being systematically torn from our hands. But in terms of the marketing of things like non-alcoholic beverages, eroticism is alive and well, and pornography is too. Meet me in the afterglow of my non-alcoholic rosé.
I did really enjoy the quote. I saw a lot of quote tweets of that tweet by old people being like, in the 90s, Herbal Essences commercials have women orgasming in the shower from their shampoo all the time, so calm down. Correct.
It's, Okay, Brian Danielson booked himself a special birthday match against Satnam Singh, which he was super excited for because of how big Satnam is, and which I think you can only truly describe using our friend Mary Yaksura's words. So, Mary, thank you for this description. She said, this is because Dave Meltzer said it was his worst match at AEW, and we were all being like, that's not the point. You shouldn't even be judging whether it was a good or bad match. She said the point of the match wasn't to have a 5-star banger. It was for Danielson to live out his dream of becoming a Greco-Roman hero, taking down a colossus with only his bare hands and wiles. What's not clicking? I do think everyone in the IWC, if you want to give this match a star rating, don't. It was just a little guy's dream. Come on. And he looks so small.
So small. Little, teeny. Everything they did in this match delighted me to no end. And it's
so fun.
All I want is to go to a little carnival sideshow. I want to see a very large man throw a little man around.
But the little man won't give up. And he loves attacking the big man. And he attacks him with verve and vigor. And he'll never give up. The big man is getting a little tired out. And he's like, why don't you chill out? Like, you're just small. Just let me crush you. And Brian Danielson is like, I will never be crushed.
And it's his birthday and he's having the time of his life.
I'm a special birthday boy. You have to give up.
I thought it was great. Earlier in the night, the EVPs had told Sanjay Dutt that if Satnam beat Danielson, that was great. But if he hurt Danielson, that would be even better. So I think Danielson did actually win. I wasn't that clear on what exactly happened while I was watching.
It got stopped, I don't know if there was ever an official winner, but it got stopped due to interference.
Okay, great. That's what I thought. But then Manolo implied that he did win. Manolo, I love you. I love you. And we'll talk about this later. But anyway, just as he was going to win, Sanjay Dutt and Jeff Jarrett showed up to do some damage and to, beat him up. And the Bucks came out through their special hole with the butt cam to hand Sanjay Dutt an envelope of cash, which I have capitalized like I think it was the man. But it was money, it was dollars. And then Okada and JB came out to also do some fighting. Backstage, an SUV driven, we realize, as the door opens by Tony Khan, pulls up. Darby jumps out of the SUV in his pink coat with something that I got a little worried about at first because I was like, it can't be a gun. They wouldn't. They couldn't do that, especially after MJF made his little school shooter jokes about Darby. Darby's now never allowed to be near a gun for that reason.
I forgot that joke.
Yeah, but it was a flamethrower, so that's totally fine, and that's not a big deal. Fine. And he came out with a flamethrower. He looked so crazy and cool. And fighting. Danielson threw Nick Jackson onto a table, and the rest of the New Elite hid behind the announce table, which I loved because it was so out of character for the Jacksons to be in two separate places, unable to go to each other and say, are you okay? Is this fine? But Matt was too scared. He was too scared of the flamethrower. So you could see him kind of looking at Nick and being like, seems okay. I'll see you soon.
I was obsessed with the flamethrower because Darby didn't actually move that much. He just stood in the same part of the ramp. And he also, after a while, clearly didn't know what else to do with it. So he just kept being like, da.
It was very fun because it was like when in like a horror movie, if you can fend off the demons with fire or whatever, mm-hmm. but it's like, well, that's not fighting. They just can't come close to you, but like you're not doing anything to them. And it did feel like, as you said, he had that realization live on TV where he's like, well, I guess I can't like actually like touch them with the
I can't set the EVPs on literal fire, so I guess I'll stand over here.
I'm also obsessed with we've been begging the entire time that we've been into wrestling for the faces to unionize and like get together and like fight the evil forces together, and it's never happened, and I'm starting to believe it never will. But weirdly, the heels are unionizing, and I kind of like it.
And you know why? It's because who's in charge?
Yeah.
Men who have already unionized. they it's have called set collective an bargaining. Example.
So the Bucks have gotten Christian Cage on side, Sanjay and Jeff Jarrett on side. And then who was it earlier? Was there somebody else also that it was like, oh, the gate? Oh, it was. No, it was like, oh, the righteous. Apparently the righteous. Right?
Yeah. Now, is this unionization or it's like, do they have
they
any.
They become lackeys?
Do they have any
it
rights?
It sounds more like hiring freelancers more than anything.
So it's actually
kind of like organized
bad.
Crime, like
this
a drug
the,
cartel.
This is the
kind
gig
of?
Economy.
It is the gig economy. Are they giving the righteous any benefits?
This is actually bad.
Okay, so if Team AEW wanted to make a difference, Darby would be like, are they offering benefits? Are they offering health insurance? No, they are just giving you, and they're taking out fees. They say, well, you beat up this guy, but first I'm going to take this fee from you.
I would love for Darby to be the one to sit down and scribble out a flyer that he goes to his local library where the printers live to print off about to scan. What do you do? Photocopy a bunch of and put them up backstage. That's just like, they are taking advantage of you. Like, do you have benefits? Like, this is the gig economy and it's killing this great country that sucks ass. So something like that.
You could really date yourself and call it Xeroxing.
Oh yeah, I forgot about that. I do just want to, I said, as this segment wrapped up, the end of Dynamite, our 10-minute over, our traditional 10-minute overrun, Nick Jackson, I loved the cinematography of he falls on the table, breaks the table, he's wailing, he touches his side, and he realizes he has a scrape, which at this point is a first stage one scrape before it has started to bleed. He's thrilled. He's like, I will be bleeding. That's perfect. So then he's kind of rubbing at it to bring the blood up, I think, perhaps. And then eventually does start actively bleeding. And he's screaming, how could you do this to me?
And in fact, he says, perverts.
Perverts.
How could you do this to me, perverts?
How could you do this to me, perverts? And as it was happening, I said, Nick Jackson wants the Mommy's Little Ham Award, and he will get it. Do you agree?
Mm-hmm. I agree entirely.
No other contenders. I was transfixed.
No.
Yeah. No one else came close.
No one at that level. It was absolutely beautiful.
Nick, your plaque will be in the mail.
Yeah.
Look forward to that in 5 to 7 business days.
Little Damon Salvatore, Mommy's Little Ham Award plaque.
I will post that on Twitter. I didn't do it last time, and I actually felt really upset about it. Like, I was looking forward to posting it on Twitter, and then I didn't, and then it felt like it was too late. I won't make that mistake again. It is getting posted this week, and you will once again be forced to behold my pride and joy, the Mommy's Little Ham Award for Wrestlers.
Good.
Okay.
If you and your team want to cut down on busy work and get more choice and control over accounts payable, you need Bill. Bill Accounts Payable is your secret weapon for saving time on AP. And with a special offer at bill.com/podcast, you'll save money too. With Bill, streamline your entire AP process, including bill creation, approvals, and payments. You can pay with ACH, credit card, check, and international wire transfer. Plus, you can easily integrate with most accounting software. No wonder hundreds of thousands of businesses are already using Bill to manage their AP. Schedule a free demo now to see how Bill can automate your financial operations. And right now, get 15% off when you subscribe to Bill Accounts Payable. There's never been a better time to sign up. This special offer is available for a limited time only at bill.com/podcast. Terms apply. See bill.com/podcast for details.
We have a special topic that we'd like to get into. And this is actually kind of in conversation with some of the other podcasts on the Social Suplex Network. So this past week, Trish and Sarah released an episode. Really good. Go check it out. Just about some of the deficiencies of the media landscape in the IWC and just the lack of basic journalistic skills and integrity. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. This week we joined them. And we join them and we say, do better. Mm-hmm. And we say, take a high school journalism class and learn how to cover a story. Now, you may ask, why? Why are you saying that right now? Well, let's read you two little quotes here, okay? So we have a quote from Sean Ross Sapp from Fightful. It says, speaking with Fightful Sean Ross Sapp, Darby Allin said that Stephen Borden, Sting's son, former football player, was staying at his house and training to be a pro wrestler. That's so fun. He really enjoyed being in his dad's retirement match where he didn't go out on his back, and now he wants to do pro wrestling.
Love that.
Allen noted that Stephen was sleeping in a tent in his front yard.
Yeah. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. At that moment, you might have some questions.
I have a lot of questions.
I certainly do.
A lot of follow-up questions.
Sap did not.
What is the next sentence here? Alan noted that Stephen had not thought about getting into wrestling. Hold up. Why are we talking about wrestling?
Can we go back to the tent?
Why are we back to talking about wrestling when we haven't even talked about the tent?
Why is nobody's next question, why a tent?
Why a tent? Is there no room in the house? Why the front yard? Is there no room in the backyard?
Is there a backyard?
Well, that's a great question. Explain the layout. How many people are staying at your house?
That's such a good question. Now, we also received a little bit more information about what might be happening at Darby Allin's house from the Voices of Wrestling Discord. And this is from Rich of Voices of Wrestling, who said, Darby has several wrestlers living and training at his house. That's such good information.
Yeah, I have some follow-up questions. How many?
How many?
Do they all stay there?
Well, is there a selection process? Like, right. Who is at his house and how did they get there?
I know. Yeah,
do they pay him money for this?
Do they? Well, yeah, I know that you guys would love to know this. I know you'd love to. I'm sure it'll be answered in the next message.
Yeah.
I was told by someone that Darby has a bell or a whistle or something. Okay. And when he blows it or rings it or something, presumably. The two guys, now it sounds like there are two, but it's like, are there only two
are there two assigned per day? Like, right.
Or is it, does some of them get the whistle and some of them get the bell?
No. Oh, that's a great question. Maybe it is. Like, everyone has their own unique sound. We don't know.
When he blows or rings it, the two guys have to stop what they are doing, run to one of his wrestling rings, and
how many wrestling rings are there?
How many,
I'd love to know.
How many wrestlers? How many wrestling rings? How many beds are in the house? Are most of the wrestlers staying in the house, or are most of them also on tents on the lawn? How many tents are on the lawn?
Is there a tent city? Are there bunk beds in the house? How many rooms? How big is this house?
Are there roommates? Are they two to a room, one to a room? I also learned from a tweet from years ago.
Do people pay more to stay in the house than they do to stay in the tents?
At one point, Darby's brother... May still be happening, was living in the house breeding pugs. Is that still happening?
How many pugs are in the house?
Are the pugs training to be wrestlers?
Does each wrestler have an assigned pug who is his wrestling pug?
Now, does the pug also have to run to one of the rings when the bell or whistle or something is rung or whistled?
And are those rings man-sized or pug-sized?
Now, again... And basic high school journalists would ask some questions. There would be follow-up questions.
However, let me just say what the questions are, because it's actually really easy. You learn it day one. It's who, what, where, when, why, and if you're feeling frisky, how. Okay?
I'd love someone to hear Steve Borden staying in a tent in Darby's front yard, and when a bell rings, he has to run to one of the wrestling rings. I'd love someone to have that information come out of Darby Allin's mouth and say, wait a second, stop right there.
But this Fightful report has like barely made an impact. Like everybody went, ha ha, that's funny. And then this Rich post in the Vow Discord got like multiple people were just like, ha, emoji.
Yeah.
They didn't even act like
it was funny. Someone was like, wait, why is he in a tent? And someone said, oh, probably a grind set thing. And then the whole group just moved on with their lives. How can you move on with your life with this knowledge in your mind?
When I tell you that this culture of disinterest sickens me, mm-hmm. I cannot overstate how disturbed I am by the lack of basic curiosity about things mm-hmm. that are inherently, clearly, extremely funny. You know, you don't like to laugh.
You don't hear about men doing the strangest thing you've ever heard in your life, and you don't say, I'd love to know more details about that so I can laugh my head off.
Can somebody just find out how many tents are in the front yard and how many of them are filled with pugs? It's an easy question.
How many pugs? How many men? Why? Where are the men coming from? How do they get there? How are they chosen? What are they learning?
It sounds like some of them were already there before Sting sent his large adult son there. So, like, how long has this been going on for? Like, did Steve's son need
permits for this?
Oh, that's a great question.
Oh, yeah. Darby surely doesn't have a tech permit.
I'll tell you, they don't have a permit for sure, but do they need one?
I don't know. I mean, a large adult son camping in your backyard is just like, if the officer shows up, it's like that. Oh, front yard. It's like, well, that's my child. That's for my brother.
He's pretending he's camping. That's why he's out there.
Is he using the facilities in, is he showering in the house?
Great question.
Is he peeing
in the
yard?
Is he allowed to?
Does he have bathroom access?
Allowed in the house?
Does Darby let... Do you have to progress?
A hose hooked up to the outside of the house and an...
Is it part of the training? If you progress a certain amount in the ring, do you get some house privileges?
Is there an outdoor shower set up? Wow. Doubtful.
Is
a doubt, but it could be just a hose in a bucket.
Hose in a bucket.
Is Sting's son hunting and cooking what he hunts over a fire?
Or does the neighbors are all like, there used to be a lot of squirrels around here, didn't there? I haven't seen one in years. They've all been eaten by prospective wrestlers.
And wrestlers are hungry and they need to build muscle. They need their squirrels and they need their steroids.
As all our listeners know, we have zero desire to ever speak to a wrestler, but nope. Nothing has pushed me more into a, like, should we be wrestling journalists space? Should we jump into Darby Allin's DMs? Yeah. Because that's the only way we can ever get more information about this with the utter failure of the IWC's journalists.
I haven't even ruled it out. We don't want it
either.
We don't want to be part of the story.
How is this gonna
go?
We don't.
Excuse me, Mr. Darby. This is Leah from Tunnel Talk News. I just wanted to ask, you know, I tried to Freedom of Information Act your permits, but I couldn't really find any hits. What kind of operation is this exactly?
What are these wrestlers doing here, sir? Okay. Anyway, look, we had more questions than answers, as you can tell. And we hear this, we start spinning in our heads. We think, once we've moved past the initial shock and horror, that at the lack of journalist, basic journalistic abilities here.
And honestly, like, are wrestling journalists, like, fully functional adults? They hear things like this and they're just like, yeah, sounds regular. It's not regular.
It's not regular. Their brains are broken. They were like, yeah, no, Darby told us all that information, but he didn't tell us who was going to win Anarchy in the Arena, so it was useless to me.
Who cares?
Yeah.
Unless the winner of Anarchy in the Arena is going to pop out of a tent in the ring, I don't give a shit.
I don't give a single shit.
Anyway,
tell me about the tent city.
tell us about tent city. We hear all of this, and then we immediately say, like, okay, well, this should be a TV show. TNT.
Yeah.
This should be a reality show.
Absolutely.
And it can be lo-fi. It can be grunge punk. It can be filmed on GoPros. There can be a, as I've said here, a single talking head camera in a shack in the yard. You need somewhere that they can go when they're feeling big feelings that you're going to get it on camera.
You call it a truth booth. They just go in there. They spout off stuff.
They say anything. They say anything
they want. Say anything you want about Darby and how he's treating you and how the tents are.
I think that as many as 20 AEW wrestlers should be going to Darby's wrestling summer camp for four weeks in the summer. Does that sound right? You could even do 2 week shifts if you want. You could get 20 in, get them out, two get 20 sessions. In again. Yeah. We all over this great country of ours that sucks. there are abandoned mansions. There are abandoned summer camps. They're in places nobody wants to go to. They do not cost much money. TNT, you're not spending it on anything. You're apparently not getting the NBA with billions at our disposal. We buy one of these spaces. Darby is running the camp. You get the wrestlers in there. They can bring a tent if they want. There might be cabins. It's a robust summer camp, okay? Mm-hmm. And we watch the show so we get to learn what they're doing to train. What is he doing with these men?
And you can have promo rooms. You can do our whole promo room system.
So many rooms.
And then you can have so many rings. And everyone, rooms and I think rings. We've already happened
that
upon a
title.
Great system.
Rooms and rings.
Rooms and rings.
Rooms and rings.
Love to watch a little TNT show called Rooms and Rings.
And actually, you could, now this will be controversial, you could get kind of a dating element in there with the rings. There could be some kind of engagement at the end of camp. I don't know how you'd make it work, but that's something to consider.
I just picture Darby, like, the wrestlers are all, you know, at mess. They're at, you know, sitting at tables. They're eating,
family
like,
style.
You know, family style.
Spaghetti.
Slop spaghetti.
The worst sauce you've ever had. Yep.
All of a sudden, Darby Allin appears. He's wearing his pink Taylor Momsen jacket
in the middle of summer, but he doesn't get hot.
He rings a bell. Mm-hmm. Half the wrestlers,
or a whistle or something,
or blows.
Half the wrestlers stand up and run towards one ring. Then he blows a whistle, and the other half run to the other ring.
Yeah,
I the ballet and the whistle. The idea
of everyone having their assigned sound, you know, and maybe every day you get a different one because you'll have a different opponent who you're going to spar with, and whenever you hear that whistle in that particular pattern, like Captain Von Trapp, everybody's got their own whistle that they know, and then they just stop whatever they're doing. They're at free swim, they're fishing, they're doing archery. They drop everything. They run to that ring.
When you said individualized sound, I did immediately, like, go sideways and be like, yeah, like bird calls. So,
like, I thought you were maybe thinking about a soundboard where it'd be like morning DJ sound.
I mean, also that would work, like, over the camp intercom, like you get like a little Casio keyboard.
Yeah. I also thought, though, if you have that old camp, if you have that old intercom system, just the screech of the PA turning on, and then he could just say their names. He says, Dante, Isaiah. That's it. That could work, too. I mean, there's so many ways that you could do this. And
yeah, imagine seeing all their little heads go up when the screech hits and everyone at their like activities. Is it me?
Allie, please be serious, though. How would the pugs know which you need the sound.
You don't think pugs can learn their own names, Leah? You sicken me.
Intercom.
You sicken me.
Okay, you're being ableist to our dog wrestlers.
Okay, let me say something to you. Maybe each wrestler is assigned a pug. He keeps the pug with him at all times.
Is this going to end up in a Kingsman thing? At the end of it, does he have to send the pug out on its back?
No.
I don't think we should be doing anything weird to the pug.
He is just the escort of the pug, okay? So then if Darby...
speak it better?
Darby says that the pugs, Bernard and Grebo, are supposed to fight in the ring, then if Bernard is your pug, you pick him up and you make for the ring. I don't think that's crazy.
The fact that off the top, the two pug names she said were Bernard and Grebo.
It is so fucked up that we have no information about this. No one even cares.
No one cares.
No one cares.
Useless dirt
sheets. I just want to say at the end of, fucking do better. Okay? Fucking, is this your job or not? Are you journalists or not? And even if you don't want to be serious journalists, do you care about entertaining people? Because this is a fucking, if I encountered this, I was on my high school newspaper, and honestly, I wasn't very helpful. But, I mean, my writing was good, and I did edit a lot of stuff for my teacher who was writing for the Delaware News Journal. So I had an impact on the culture in that sense. But when it came to actually doing anything else, I wasn't really helpful. And, in fact, I was a hindrance. But if I had encountered a story like this, immediately, it's just like, it's front page.
It's a gift that's been landed in your lap.
It is a slam dunk human interest story.
Yeah, he got handed for free that Sting's son is sleeping in a tent. And he was like, let's talk about revolution.
If he had written a long, detailed, informational piece on this, I would be signing up for his... I would be getting past that paywall. Absolutely. I've never been tempted to get past their paywall.
Suddenly it would be like, wait a second, do I need to be in there? Is this the kind of stuff you're getting?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I've had it. It's so... Do better... Seems like nobody wants to work anymore. Time to fucking do your fucking job. If somebody says something just absolutely wackadoo to you, all you have to do is say, wait, stop.
Wait a second. Explain that.
Let me learn this phrase. I have a follow-up question. I have a follow-up question. Okay? So, you know, what else can we say?
Yeah.
Let's move on, I guess.
It's a disgrace.
Yeah. It's just crazy. Okay. Swerve. So we're here with Swerve. The EVBs did interact with Swerve at one point on Dynamite. They were looking for Darby. They were saying, Darby's not allowed here. Have you seen Darby? What did Swerve say to them?
What up, turds?
What up, turds? What up, turds? And then he crumpled up the picture of Darby and threw it and said, hit my music. It's my match. And he got out there. Immediately, I said, I am loving the energy. Yeah. I'm loving it.
I also loved it because the Bucks were kind of like like still pretending they had power, but immediately leaping to do what he said. Matt was like, could someone hit his music? Hello? Can someone do that? My God, run the show. Get his music on.
They got to run the show. And so he was going out to fight Nick Wayne. Very fun match that he, of course, won. And it was immediately followed by a classic kind of clown car of Luchasaurus coming out to attack him. And then he was attacking Luchasaurus. And then he was also lunging for Christian. And Christian was doing something that he does better than anybody, which is to suddenly act like a terrified cartoon villain and just skedaddle out of there and just run for God.
Suddenly it strikes you like how long his legs are and how he's like a little bit weirdly proportioned, which like usually you don't even see. And it's just like, this is so funny. Just run in front of me all day long.
So he runs backstage and he's just, you know, dee-dee-dee-dee. That's not what song am I trying to do? Nope, not that. Anyway, he gets into a car, an SUV something out of something.
The driver.
A human being. Allie, please. It was a human being doing his job. Okay? I'm part of the problem. He pulled him out of the driver's seat. He starts driving away. Car cuts him off. Who is driving it? It's Prince Nana. The crowd goes fucking wild. Yeah. We go wild at home.
Yeah. Totally. I was so excited. It was the nicest way to see Prince Nana back and Swerve hasn't lost him.
Yeah, because I was starting to get worried.
I know. But he still has this friend, which is so important. And they get into some, you know, they're fighting on top of the car. Prince Nana hands Swerve a chair, and he's going to concerto him on the windshield, it seems like. I haven't written any of this down. This is all right off the dome. But... which is absolutely shocking, I agree. But Christian manages to wriggle out at the last second, and he skedaddles away, and we leave Swerve sitting there on the car, just kind of looking head up and glowing and grinning. Because he said, I'm going to fucking kill you. The next time I get my hands on you, I'm going to fucking kill you.
He looked so hot, too. He looked so good.
He had a Band-Aid on his face.
Yeah.
That wasn't, doing it for me, but, you know.
It was a little bit, though. It was a sexy Band-Aid. Yeah. No, everything about this, Swerve seemed so cool. Like, Christian did a great coward heel. It was delightful. I was laughing. I was excited. Thank God we're out of that Samoa Joe feud.
I know. It's so important. I really thought that this, he came off absolutely amazing in this episode. Because it's like he didn't, it's not like he came off It just worked in that middle ground of he's not doing heel stuff. He's just not fucking taking these heels seriously, which is cool. Mm-hmm. It's cool to be I'm not going to treat the EVPs like a fucking threat. I'm just going to treat them like my fucking stupid ass bosses.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hit my music.
Extremely powerful. Yeah. Love the energy.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Nick Wayne did have a little collision on, he had a promo on Collision. He had a promo where he said, what did he say?
He said last year he was a boy, but now he's a man. He's a man. Not very believable, I'm afraid. But
there's nothing I love more than all of these little boys running around AEW, just like they're little lion cubs, periodically roaring, I'm a man now. And then their father lovers are like, yes, you're a big, strong man. You're so scary. You get out there and you give him hell, my special guy.
It's beautiful. You love to see it.
You know, they have to. That's how they learn. You learn from play fighting. So
that's true. That's all right. That's why the pugs have to wrestle too, you know?
With Bernard and Grebo. You'll learn in time, boys. You won't be puppies forever.
At one point in this match, Swerve took off his belt and said, I'll be his father, about Nick Wayne, and he started hitting him on the ass with the belt, which I'll tell you, my eyes were like dinner plates during that little section.
Now, who else got belted this year? Who else? Someone who in another match.
Someone definitely
someone
did.
Someone took their belt off again, and they did unspeakable things, or threatened to.
I wish I could remember.
Google AEW belt?
Yeah, that'll get you there.
That's going to work, yeah. any other thoughts on Swerve at the moment, Swerve Christian, anything else?
He's doing great. I'm loving
this feud.
Yeah, they're doing great right now.
Honestly, I'm just sorry that we're in this quick pay-per-view cycle where it's, like, going to be over. Just, you know, that you only get a month with Swerve and Christian, because I think it's working really well.
I'm very hopeful, although should I be? But I, you know, I can say my hopes and dreams. I hope that some of these feuds, like Swerve and Christian right now, that even if, like, you know, there will be a winner at Double or Nothing, I hope they continue to play into the story over the course of the summer, which I think is quite likely. Because I these are our top guys, and all the top guys are going to have to stay, you know, tuned in to this storyline with the EVPs running amok backstage. So I'm hopeful that we'll continue to see rich interactions for months and even years to come.
Please.
And they're doing such a good job with the, like, EVPs directing Christian. So, and having Swerve, like, interact with them in this, because it's like, it's so nice to draw that out a little bit, where you have, like, a sort of nicely paced, like, and even Swerve's next feud could also be with someone the Bucks have, like, hired to go after him, you know, or whatever. Yeah. But you still have this larger, you have a big bad, but you have little bads.
I'm like, yeah, we're in Buffy territory. They're the mayor and they're deploying. Sometimes Buffy doesn't realize that a mantra of the week she's dealing with is actually related to the ultimate big bad.
Exactly.
It's called narrative. And you know who understands it? Our fucking beautiful EVPs. We kiss them on their beautiful heads. We say, you're so good at telling fun stories. You're so good. Okay? That's all. All right. And the final topic of the night, we can't not check in on them. Kyle O'Reilly wrestled Lee Moriarty on Rampage this week, and then Malakai Black on Collision. He was wrestling Malakai, I guess, for Adam Copeland's honor. I don't know that that's been textually. I know that last week I was being like, they could be having a love affair. I don't think that Cope has given that many indications that he wants to be courted by Kyle O'Reilly, but nevertheless, he persisted. Kyle did get beaten by Malakai. He rolled out of the ring, defeated. As Malakai was standing there, the lights flashed red. Usually he's the only one messing with the lights. What could be going on?
It was so funny when he looked around like, what the fuck? And it's like, Malakai, you do this every week. You should be this startled.
It was very much like, that's my light switch. You're not allowed to fuck with that.
You touch my light switch? Jail. And then out of nowhere, just a rush of goopy blood, clotted blood from the sky that rushed down and covered him in blood, and he gets full carried, and we cut to a pre-tape of Cope grinning maniacally and saying that Malakai should be careful what she wish for, and what he wished for, of course, is for the dark impulses to win. Now that Cope's wedding ring is on Malakai's finger, I believe.
You know, and it's so beautiful when you see someone become a woman right in front of you.
Yeah.
With a giant covered
and
in blood.
You know what? That is scary. It's scary when it happened the first time. Yeah.
Is how you know that wrestling is a male dominated fandom, because, like, I only saw, like, one or two memes, but, like, the fact that I didn't wake up to a wall of, like, when you put the diva cup in, mom, you know what I mean? When your period comes, we've all when you're asleep there. And you stand up.
Oh my god, it really is. They really do be that way sometimes.
Like that sometimes.
And how he looked, like, how could this happen? That's when the diva cup does something you don't want it to do. When you're not in your own bathroom.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When you're in the middle of a wrestling ring and you realize, wow, something's gone wrong with my diva cup.
Diva cup emergency in a wrestling ring.
The C fold did not work out for me.
No, when you're at that work conference and you're like,
I thought
well.
It was sealed.
And it did the screenshot of it coming down, because it didn't hit him right on the head right initially. It kind of came down behind him between his legs.
Yeah, so there was absolutely a screenshot of it between his legs. Which is why it was ripe for a lot of people to be making jokes that they were not, because they don't get periods.
Oh my gosh. Wow. Absolutely.
And the blood itself, I'm sorry for what I'm about to say. It wasn't arterial blood. It was clotty. It was clumpy.
It was old blood.
Yeah. It had lining. in it.
We recognized that blood, okay? That is the blood that you cannot thin with asthma.
No. Mm. No.
It is what it is. It is what it is.
Yeah. If this...
And so as you just have to crawl out of the ring covered in it, slipping and sliding.
Thank God. If you feel that way, some mornings you wake up, that it is how it feels.
It is how it feels. You slip and slide to the shower.
You know, there's a tarp under there, and then you just got to pull the whole surface of the ring off. Take it down to the laundry.
Girls pull the tarp off, yeah.
You know that classic thing when girl pulled the tarp off in the morning.
Thank God we had a friend who went to the show and was able to tell us that there were techs with wet vacs out there.
Yeah. We had a picture. Thank you so much. We were immediately, because we saw this, we loved it. We were saying mm-hmm. things like, maybe this is normal in wrestling, but we've never seen it before. And we're immediately obsessed with it. And then all of us, so stressed, just start going, well, how are they going to clean that up in time? How are they going to clean that up in time?
I'm frantically being
like, have they booked a gimmick match? Is it going to be in the back or something? Like, are they going out to a parking lot and then they'll have lots of time to clean? They didn't.
Are they acclaimed going to have to stand on the ramp and talk for like 20 minutes
with
while
the
they clean it up?
Max you Caster know. Would
Max
combust.
Caster, yeah, Love no. It, yeah. Max Caster would be like, that's not a safe talk situation. About the blood.
wet vacs it up. And they did have some promos in a row, and then they came back. You could still see some of the goop on the barricade, which I loved.
Yeah, incredible.
This was fucking so fun. And then I understand mostly from Manolo. Manolo called this brood blood bath. And because Cope was in the brood, and he was a vampire maybe, or something like that. I'm using a lot of air quotes.
Maybe he just had a gothic lifestyle. That's from the wiki. That's what commentary used to say a lot, apparently, about the brood.
Did the brood have something to do with Gangrel?
Yes, it was Christian, Edge, and Gangrel were the three in the brood.
Wow, three. Hell yeah. Uh-huh, so they had a third.
They had a third wheel, yeah.
They opened up their marriage. That might be where the problem started. Had they read the ethical slut, or they just kind of went in and assumed it would work out? Well, I will just open up the floor. If any listeners have any fun stuff that you want to tell us about the brood, about Gangrel, about...
Did the brood use period blood, like, a lot?
Was there a lot of period blood involved? We'd definitely like to know that. We're open to education. I want to meet this guy, vampire guy.
I want to hear an explanation of it. I do want to make it clear that if you link us to a video that's longer than 4 minutes, we won't watch it.
Absolutely not. Four minutes stretch. Unless it's...
If it's really,
really
good.
Funny.
You need to...
You've got to sell it. You can't just drop it.
You
got to
sell it. Yes, exactly.
Tell us something to entice us, to get us in the door. But then also
Christian and Edge, they kiss on the mouth, covered in blood. Like, yeah, I'll watch a 4 minute video about that for sure.
Yeah, that'll pretty much do it. But just also, like, you know, sometimes I'm very guilty of this. Sometimes it's someone will be like, oh, I want to learn about X. And you'll just be like, yeah, I can find a video. And you just do the Google they would have done and you find the video they would have found. And you'll be like, this pretty much sums it up. No, don't do that to us. Just only let us know if you like know of a really good one. Like, it's so crazy or sexy or Adam Copeland says something so friggin' insane. Just tell us about that, please. Thank you. Thank you so much. We love you guys so much. And you really help us a lot. And
a lot.
Yeah. We need it.
A lot. Mm-hmm.
We need it.
We're very dumb.
It was so delightful to see something new, though.
Oh,
like,
so fun.
You know, we've gotten in the groove of wrestling, but like a new blood drench.
I didn't know they could do that. I was not expecting it. I startled so much. Yeah. I just didn't know they could do that.
And it came so fast out of
nowhere.
It's
so fast.
How high were the buckets of blood they were dropping? Like, it was coming down.
It was torrential.
It was like from a blimp. So focused.
You know what I mean? Like, I guess I expected, as it started and my eyes were widening, I would have expected, like, for it to be broader in the air, but it was very focused in the air, you know?
Yeah.
Made like there's a hose. Yeah.
Like there was a hose. Yeah. Wow. So I can't wait to see Malachi and Adam Copeland do something. Yeah.
I can't believe that Malachi suddenly decided to do some stuff that's mildly interesting to me, you know?
I'm not planning on getting used to it. My expectations are low for this man, but I appreciate for one mere minute he has.
We have to treasure this moment, you know, when he's wearing Copeland's wedding ring and getting drenched in blood. I'm never have it again.
Wrapping it in soft cloths, I'm putting it in my hope chest. I will never forget. Was there anything you wanted to discuss that we didn't get to? And we won't get to now because we're so far over. But you can say it.
Just extremely briefly, happy that the Lucha Brothers are back.
Yes, yeah. Very happy. I had a moment where I got really worried because Phoenix was in, like, you know, they're doing the dramatic lighting. And I have very bad face blindness in general, and it's kind of, and also bad vision, so it's like white light, dark, white, dark, and I was just like, it is him though, like I'm peering at the screen like it's him.
They did very cool posing in the two tunnel doors really with the cool lighting and stuff. It looked great.
Very cool. Death Triangle have really good aesthetics.
When the outfits they came in All Out 21 when we were there,
just the Luchas, so cool. Right.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, just they looked great. They looked amazing. Yeah.
Yeah.
Love them. Can't wait to see them this weekend. By the time you're listening to this, you will be on the verge of watching the show. If we didn't really make any predictions, and that's amazing for us. So we'll be back next week to talk about the outcome.
I'm excited for this one.
Yeah, I'm very excited. And I've been Allie.
I've been Ann.
And I've been Leah.
This is Tunnel Talk. Our theme is by Chris Gorkin. You can find us on Twitter and Tumblr at Tunnel Talk Pod, via email at tunneltalkpod@gmail.com. You can also find us on the Social Suplex Network feed, where you can check out some of the other great podcasts on the network, and on the Social Suplex Network Discord, where we will be talking about this period blood quite a bit in the weeks to come, if I had to guess. Please rate, review, and subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts. And stay frosty. I almost didn't say it.
Oh my God.
Oh my God.
This was your opportunity to lose it if you wanted to, but.
But I startled myself so badly. Guys, hey, I'm clutching the mic. Please stay frosty. And please, please, please come back next week.